make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
My next guest's name is Dr. Carl O. Helvey, and he is 80 or 81 these days, and he has survived lung cancer. He was diagnosed about 40 years ago and was given 6 months to live. Obviously, he didn't pay his bill, so the doctors gave him another 6 months and another and another. He has written a book called You Can Beat Lung Cancer. He is a fellow radio show host, and he's here to share his story and provide hope for those faced with a diagnosis of lung cancer today. Dr. Helvey, let's start with, let's hear the story. What happened? Take me back 40 years ago. How did it all start?
Well, in 1974, I had a dream that told me to go for a chest x-ray. And I pay attention to my dreams because I believe that this is one way that God speaks with us if we listen. And so I went to my doctor, and at that time you had to go through your primary doctor to do anything. And so in order to get a chest x-ray, I had to go through my primary doctor, and he was sort of conservative, and so I didn't want to tell him I was there because I'd had a dream. But I told him I'd like an x-ray, and he said, "Do you have symptoms?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, why do you want one?" And I said, "I just want one. I haven't had one for a while." So he sent me, and I got the x-ray, and it came back with a spot that hadn't been there previously. So he asked if I'd go for a biopsy, and I said, "Fine." And so the next thing, the doctor and the surgeon come, and they tell me they're doing chemo and surgery. And I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "I don't make snap decisions. I go home, I pray about it, I think about it, and I make a rational decision." And they said, "But you'll be dead in 6 months." And I said, "But my responsibility is to make the decision, and your responsibility is to tell me the pros and cons of chemo and of surgery." Now, this was a lot for a nurse back 40 years ago.
Sure.
Or even the public, because at that time, doctors were God, and you didn't question them. And so I came home, and my friend, I was in a Search for God group, and my friend Ursula was in the group, and she was my doctor's sister, but he didn't know we knew each other. And Ursula said, "Well, would you like me to pray about it and watch my dreams and ask for guidance, etc.?" And I said, "Yes." And so we did this. And she said, "Would you like a psychic reading?" And I said, "Well, I've never had one, but I don't have anything to lose at this point." So we compared everything, and it came back, the reading and our dreams, that I should treat it naturally. And so Ursula knew a physician in Vienna, Virginia, and he had worked for the National Cancer Institute, having a lot of success with Laetril, but they closed him down, and so he continued providing service to patients in his private practice, but I had to sign forms that I wouldn't report him. And so he examined me and also confirmed that I had lung cancer. And he told me to take Laetril. I took 2,000 milligram a day. I took pancreatic enzymes. At the time, I took Wobimogus, but they're no longer available, and so there are other pancreatic enzymes that people use. I took high-dose vitamin A, and I was very excited about, maybe 5 months ago, to see research that confirmed what my doctor had told me 40 years ago, and that was that vitamin A high dose would prevent the normal cells from converting to cancer cells. And so by high dose, I mean I started at 300,000 international units, then went to 100,000, and then went to 50,000 for a year. And to put this in context, as you know, 5,000 is the daily recommended dose. So, and also, vitamin A is a fat soluble, so it's stored in the fat and not excreted like the water soluble. So I told the doctor, I said, "Well, I'm a little concerned about taking such high doses." And he said, "Well, I'm going to give you vitamin E high dose to take care of the toxicity." But vitamin E was also a fat soluble vitamin, but I didn't have any problems with it. I had no problems with the Laetrile, even though I have since found that the literature says that it has cyanide in it and it will send you to the emergency unit. And I said, well, ignorance is bliss, because I didn't know that, so I didn't have any symptoms. But what the literature doesn't say is that certain enzymes are necessary to activate the cyanide in the Laetrile, and that cancer cells have those enzymes, but normal cells do not. I took a lot of other supplements. I took a lot of vitamin Bs. I took the vitamin C. I took Comfrey Pepsin, which it was a digestive aid. He put me on something that is now called a vegan diet, and I had 75% raw fruit and vegetables and some additional cooked. I could have grains and nuts, but no simple carbohydrate, no protein, which meant no meat, chicken, eggs, dairy, none of that. And that was basic. And I also took apricot kernels, which is one of the largest sources of Laetrile. I ate 25 kernels daily. And I had studied public health for my doctorate, and we were taught that there's no cause-effect relationship, but multiple causes that lead up to disease processes. So it seemed to me that there should be multiple interventions to resolve a disease process. And so I thought that the physical was great, but I needed to add some mental and spiritual. So I added prayer, I added meditation, visualization, affirmation. I was on church prayer list. I contacted Awar, who is one of the best-known psychic healers in the country at that time. I tried to serve others. I did exercises to improve my patience and forgiveness and some of the spiritual attributes. And I did all of this for 2 years. I went back to my doctor every 6 months, but I didn't tell him I was doing anything. Now, the alternative doctor that gave me the regime didn't ask me to come back, so I didn't go back, but I went back to my primary doctor, and I didn't tell him I was doing anything, so he thought we were in a wait-and-see mode. And so after 2 years, the spot was gone, and he said, well, he guessed he'd made the wrong diagnosis. And so my friend, who was professor of pediatrics when I taught at Duke, and at this point he's medical director for Blue Cross Blue Shield for the state of North Carolina, and he asked to see the biopsy and the x-rays and everything I had. And so I took it all to North Carolina, and he reviewed it, and again he confirmed that it had definitely been lung cancer.
Well, that is quite a story. We are almost out of time. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that, perhaps in another segment. In the last minute or so, what would you tell listeners to do if they do receive a diagnosis of lung cancer? Are you recommending they do the same thing, or have things changed a little bit in the last 40 years?
I recommend that patients make their own decisions, that it's very empowering to be able to decide that you're going to do this or you're going to do that. So if they think chemo will work for them, fine. If they think that surgery will work, fine. If they want to do what I did, that's fine. But they need all of the information, and they need to make their own decision.
Dr. Helvey, thank you for sharing your story. You can read more about him at www.beatlungcancer.net. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Remember, never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends. And stay well.